Brexit, the next election, all this disagreeing and all this turmoil and all these political, oh, it's just a mess. What do you do? Well, it's always the other side's fault, right? Well, gee, where does this all come from and what do we do and how do we react to it? Let's figure that out. Let's do a little unpacking and try to keep it from being nasty right here on the corner of truth and life. Welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and I apologize the last couple weeks if the shows have seemed a little different or repeats, as I've been on vacation, and it kind of threw our schedule off a little. And now back in the saddle again as we're into September, and vacation over, and busyness ensuing. And, of course, a lot of other things now are gearing back up after maybe a slightly less busy summer. The politicians tend to take some time off, though President Trump's Twitter account, I guess, is 24/7/365. But for the most part, it's been a little quieter. But now we start moving towards the election and all this stuff going on. And then that's just not just our country, but there's all the stuff going on in Britain. And it's just a lot of craziness going on. And then, of course, also, you know, another year, school year is starting. The winter season's going to be upon us before we know it. And budgets. And just there's all these things happening. And, boy, you wonder what to do with it all. And it can be very overwhelming. And it gets very contentious at times, too. You know, people just... Oh, it's just, you don't even want to talk politics most of the time. I don't. And I actually try to stay out of politics much of the time because there's bigger fish to fry, other things to worry about. Even though, even just saying that, man, some people get very upset because there are no bigger fish to fry than their fish. And say, well, actually, there may be some other fish to fry, other things to deal with beyond the latest political outrage. But be that as it may, as we try to figure this out, what do we do with it? How do we understand it? How do we grapple with it beyond just turning into a raging partisan or just taking a side and then shooting for the other side as much as you can, just, you know, tearing them down, trying to shut them out? And is there a larger point, a larger thing to understand with all that's going on? And that's what I want to study today. As I've been on vacation and listening and watching the news some, and having time to just slow down and not be in the middle of all the things that I'm usually busy doing and thinking about, and working on, having some time to reflect and think has brought me more and more to a thing that I think oftentimes in the busyness and the intensity of life and news cycles and one outrage after another, a thing that we can miss. And it's one of these things that the more I looked at it, the more I could just see kind of some truth really coming through here, as far as listening to Brexit especially. And at the time of this recording, the British political system's just going through convulsions. The Prime Minister Boris Johnson, a bunch of his conservatives have quit or been he's kicked him out of the party. His brother quit. Winston Churchill's grandson got thrown out and then said he was, I mean, it's just a mess. And they're negotiating, are they going to have a snap election? I mean, just a mess all the way through. And, of course, all this around, are we going to exit not we, but they, are they going to exit the European Union? How are they going to exit it? Are they going to crash out without a deal? Is it going to tank the economy? And Johnson says, well, the voters voted for this. Well, they did. It was a pretty narrow margin, but they did. But the country's fairly much half and half. And we're not going to ask him again. And it's just made me glad that as much as some of our American politics are nuts these days, it still feel we're better off. But what it really said to me, and if you sit back, what we really see in there and over here too, in many of our politics, of the politics of gun control or immigration or pretty much anything in our country, it comes down to a bunch of people who all want their way to the point of almost ready to burn down the world to get it. And unable, unwilling, I guess is the better word, to compromise, because that's a dirty word. You gotta get your way. And if you compromise, you're not getting your way, and so that's not acceptable. And I was thinking about Brexit in particular, and the fact that there are people who think that the better thing, the good thing, is to free Britain from its strong ties with the European Union. And the other main point of view is that no, that Britain is better with the strong ties to the European Union. But then one of the things that seems to be mostly agreed on is that it better be defined in some way that's workable, either way, either in or out. Because otherwise, Britain kind of gets isolated. But even that is not fully agreed on. But there's an inability to even agree at points on what is good. And the reason is because everyone has their own agenda. And that's so often and more the case of there being less of an understanding, a less of an awareness of, and maybe a less of a concern for a common good. And much more a my good. And that's human nature. But that's the truth right there. That's what really occurred to me, was that is human nature. And that's what the Bible says about us. That we tend to gravitate towards ourselves, and we tend to want to define good for ourselves. And if good is what's ever good for me, and that if good is defined by myself, then it becomes increasingly impossible for society to function well, because if good is self-defined, then how do we ever agree on a good, because we each have our own self? And this comes back to really what the Bible teaches and the Bible shows of God saying, listen, I'm going to define good for you because I know better. I'm God. I'm not just another human being with each human's own limited self-centered, self-based idea of goodness. I have a broader, more comprehensive, more universal view of what is good. And so I'll bring you into that and help you navigate what gives you the best outcome for everybody. And all the way through the Bible, and especially the New Testament, but it's in the Old too, is this: don't live for yourself, live for something greater. But not just any random thing greater. The greater is God and his thing. Because that's also good for you. Now, it's not always good for every individual all the time in the short term. because this is the good for us, not the good for me. And we do understand that to a point, and our society has understood it. I mean, that's why you have people who do service jobs, especially like police and firefighters and the military, where they give up a measure of freedom, they give up a measure of their own happiness and their own safety for others, for the common good. And we understand that even within charity and stuff, that people give up things for the common good. But across society, there's less and less of that because we define the common good by ourselves. And so we may say, well, this is the good for everyone. I mean, that's what all the politicians say. But it's not true, and you can tell by the way they're acting. Because they are willing to burn things down just to get their way. But it's for everybody's good. If it's for everybody's good, why are you burning things down? Why are you so willing to destroy people and positions and systems just to get your way, because you're sure your way is the only good way? And there's a human arrogance that makes so much sense, but it is human arrogance. And of course, that's why you have that verse in the Bible where God says, be still, and the word means cease striving, stop fighting, and know that I am God. Where God says, I'll define good for you. Many times we don't realize that in the creation account, Genesis 3, the fall, actually. The tree that Eve ate from and that Adam ate from is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the best interpretation I've heard of what that tree was and what that tree meant is that it was the tree of it represented us choosing to decide that we would define good and evil rather than God would. That God had said, this is good and this is not. Do this, don't do this. That God had defined what was good. In fact, all the way through the first two chapters, Genesis 1 and 2, as he creates things, he says, this is good. This is good. And so then he tells Adam and Eve, don't eat from this tree. It's not good for you. He doesn't say it's a bad fruit, but it says, he says it's not good. It'll kill you. The day you eat it, you'll die. But then the account is that Eve looked at the fruit with some prompting from the serpent. And Eve looked at it and said, oh, it looks good. It looks good. She decided, you know what, I'm going to decide what's good for me. And as you watch the politics, you watch the news, you watch Brexit, you watch, there's such a fight over what is good. And maybe we need to step back and say, maybe we listen to God. Maybe we need a shared definition of good that is not set by ourselves, but set by our Creator. And boy, giving that up, that's going to be tough. But maybe it would bring us a little more harmony and unity.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.